the sound of liberty. The Lord has made it very clear to us in this time that He is declaring liberty and that His desire is to release the sound of liberty, release the decree of liberty through the body of Jubilee. And so we're being invited into into a place with Him. I see that the Father has given the Son permission to kind of make a date with His special girl. We talked about a little earlier that a couple of weeks ago, the Lord Jesus came to Pastor and He said, "Steve, play." And it kind of shook him, because for such a long season, he had been holding a place in the throne room before the Father, holding a place of worship and a place of honor. And so Jesus just kind of came in and said, "Shake it off! Play!" So many of us have held that place of faithfulness with the Lord. He's given us a word. He's given us a promise. He's given us the flag and said, "Stand here. Hold your place. Hold this for me." And out of faithfulness, we have held our responsibilities before the Lord. We've held our ministries. We've held our concerns and our prayers before Him. And we have been so faithful to intercede, to cry out, to just stand. And when everything else is done, to stand. And now the Lord is saying, "I want to release a decree, a sound of liberty through this house." We have so many scriptures of liberty. Isaiah, Luke 4:18, Acts 26:18. We have so many scriptures that so many of us have memorized and have been our lives to go and to preach the good news to all who would hear and even to those who wouldn't listen. But to go and to release the sound of good news that Jesus Christ has come and He's given everything for us. And we carry that, and we carry that word in our hearts, because what greater joy do we have than to see our children walk in truth, the Lord says in 3 John. That my children would walk in truth. And so we want everybody to know Him. He's it. That's the point. It's so good. And yet now the Lord is saying, "Okay, Jubilee, come closer. Because I want to whisper something to you. I want to open your eyes in a new way to what I want to do in this season." His word is everlasting. It doesn't change. But as we go from glory to glory, we come into deeper revelation. We come into a deeper place of knowing. My father-in-law, whenever he and my mother-in-law would talk at marriage classes, they would always say, "You don't really get to know each other until you're through the first 25 years. And that would just really tick off a lot of people. "How can you say that? And I know the person I've married, and I'm so in love, and this, and, you know, 25 years, are you kidding?" We're at 20. Ryan and I are at 20, and we had 4 years prior to getting married. And I'm like, "Very nice to meet you." Because the truth of the matter is, we are constantly growing. We are constantly changing. We are constantly being unfolded like a flower. As we come into deeper walk with the Lord, we come into greater revelation, and things fall off. And yeah, thank God, Marilyn says. It's so true. And things that have been buried come to life and come to light. And we discover new things about him. I spoke on Sunday about the Jesus filter and how we all are given a filter in life from our experiences that cause us to see things differently than the Lord sees them. And as we gaze into the eyes of Jesus, those filters, those wrong filters are removed, and the Jesus filter comes, and we begin to see life through his eyes. We begin to see one another through his eyes. We begin to see ourselves in the reflection of his eyes. And it changes things. So we're constantly changing. He isn't. But what we discover about him is constantly changing. Because he's just so big. And it'll take all of eternity to scratch the surface of how big our God is. So now we're in a season, we're in a time where he's going, come, Jubilee. I want to whisper something to you. I want to give to you a gift that I want you to give away. And it's a decree of liberty. So we have an idea of what that looks like. We can go and refer to the scriptures that we're so familiar with in Isaiah and Luke. In different places, we can talk about liberty. But when the Father says, sit, then it means it's time to have a new understanding, a deeper understanding. I talked about earlier, when the prayer of Jabez was big, Bruce Wilkinson had written a book called The Prayer of Jabez. And that scripture had been in the Bible for thousands of years. But Holy Spirit had enlightened it to this man. He got wind of that. He brought it out. And Holy Spirit blew on it. He was on an interview with Dr. Dobson on Focus on the Family, and I remember listening to the broadcast where they talked about it, and then Dr. Dobson had Bruce Wilkinson read the prayer of Jabez, and as he read it, the Holy Spirit just moved into the studio, and everything went silent, and you felt it on the other side of the radio. It was like, whoosh. And I was like a major evangelical at the time. I wasn't even into Holy Spirit the way I am now. I didn't have the understanding that I had now of the liberty of the Spirit and the moving of the Spirit in that way, but I, whoa, you felt it. And the whole studio went silent for 2 minutes because the presence of the Lord had rested on his word. Holy Spirit had taken out his highlighter and gone, pay attention to this. And then he blew on it, and it became a movement across the nation. It became a movement in other countries, in other nations. It wasn't that that word was new. That word had been in the Bible for thousands of years. But it was a moment in time where Holy Spirit was saying, right here, right now, I'm going to breathe on this. So we're being invited right now to come and listen to the Father breathe. To press ourselves onto his lap and into his chest and to hear his heartbeat for something that he wants to do in this moment. We don't know how far. We don't know how wide. We don't know if it's just to us or if it's to nations. But he's calling. He's beckoning. And the way he's called is he said, Steve, play. So that gives us a little bit of a hint that this word of liberty has something to do with childlikeness and with freedom. And as we've been discussing childlikeness, something that keeps coming up is trust. The reason children are able to be so free is because they don't have any responsibilities. They trust that everything is taken care of. They trust that dinner's going to be ready when I'm hungry. They trust that mom will be there to pick me up if I fall down and I start crying loud enough. They trust that Santa is coming for Christmas. The work of a child is play. It's to be creative and innovative and delight and imagine and discover. The work of a child is play. We talked last week how a lot of times, you know, children don't have limitations on their imagination. You know, if Russell's over here and he's an astronaut and he's flying into space and I decide to come and be a ballerina, well, then the astronaut will start flying around the ballerina who's suddenly dancing on Mars, right? It's not a problem. It's not a problem. It all integrates. It's kind of like your dream life, right? You know, you get into the car and suddenly you're cooking dinner in the front seat. How is that possible? It's not, but in a dream life, all things are possible. Children live there. They live in the impossible. They live without limitation. And so they have the freedom to take in what's brought to them, even though it might not make sense. I believe if the Father is saying play, then he's kind of calling us outside of the limitations. If he's saying, I want Liberty teams to come out of here. I want the sound of liberty to be decreed from this place. Now play. Then that's our next assignment. Is to learn how to delight in him, in each other, in the moment. And to allow that delight to begin to change us. To allow that delight to bring forth deliverance and healing and strength and joy. So that when he says, now go, that somehow whatever that sound is that we are discovering of liberty, it's going to have a lot of joy on it. It's going to have a lot of play in it. It's going to have a lot of delight. One of my favorite sounds is children giggling. I could listen to that forever. I love to hear children giggle. There's no care and concern and giggling. There's just delight. And when I can stop being so serious and I can let that giggling wash over me, I get free of a whole lot. I get free of a whole lot. Pastor sent a couple of scriptures from Thailand of what the Lord was speaking to him in liberty, and I want to read one of them to you. It's Acts 26:18. This is when Paul was before one of his judges telling them why all the Jews wanted to kill him. He said that the Lord had met him. Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? Why are you kicking against the goads? And the Lord opened his eyes, and then the Lord told him what he was to go do. To open their eyes. in order to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and an inheritance among those who are sanctified by faith in me. The word over this house is Leviticus 25. It's the year of Jubilee, to go and proclaim liberty, to restore them to their inheritance. It's not just freedom, but it's restoration and fullness. This is the sound. This is the decree of liberty God is forming in us that he's desiring to come forth. It's not just, yay, you're free, but you're empty-handed. It's, there is now redemption. Amen. On your life. And that which you lost is going to be restored. That which was taken is going to be given back sevenfold. It is going to be restored unto you, your identity, your inheritance, that which God intended for your life. Your freedom comes with abundance. So, I love that God opened Paul's eyes and then said, now go open their eyes. If God is giving us play, if he is intending to visit us in the place of delight and childlikeness, then that is a large part of what he's going to call us to go give away. But we may not know how to play. Some of us may not have been allowed to be children when we were children. For some to say play, they're like, well, that's really nice, but I never had that opportunity. I don't know that I'll know how to play. It's okay. He does. He knows how to do it all. He knows how to play. He knows how to delight. He knows how to toss you and to catch you every time. He knows how to blow on your belly, zerbert, 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 until you're giggling and you can't help yourself. He knows how to break us out of that place of have-tos and shoulds and couldas and wouldas into that freedom that only he can bring. He's calling us to a place where he's going to open our eyes to delight. And all we can do is fix our gaze. Is fix our gaze. Is fix our gaze. Capture his eyes. When I'm not looking, Jesus, tap me on the shoulder. Holy Spirit, remind me, I need to be looking in your eyes. I need to be gazing on you. I need to be gazing at the one whose delight is in me. That's a really good place to remind each other. Where are your eyes? Where are your eyes? Oh, the cares of this world. Oh, the cares of this world. Where are your eyes? On the one who delights in me. Where are your eyes? Write it down. Put it on your bathroom mirror. Where are your eyes? Where are my eyes? Put it on your dashboard. Oh, he just cut me off. Where are my eyes? Woohoo! Dun, 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 dun. Instead of, it's like, dun, 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 dun. Thanks for cutting me off. Got my eyes in the place of delight again. The place of delight. So, team? Anyone? Anyone? I love that. Becky's like, Brian has something. Yeah? Yeah. Yeah. Brian has something. He doesn't know he has it yet, but. Here he comes.
We were talking this afternoon about standing, and I don't know, there must have been five or six. Everybody in the room had a stand scripture, you know. So just share the one I had. It's Galatians 5:1, and it says, "Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty by which Christ has made us free, and do not be entangled again in the yoke of bondage." A lot of times we get free, and no matter what our thing is, we get free, and then we find ourselves back in it, because I think, like Diana was saying, is we take our eyes off the source of our freedom. It's by which Christ has made us free. It's not in the stuff we do or how we do it or when we do it or the manner or any of that. It's just because it's Christ has already made us free, and we try to hold on to something that was a free gift. It's in Christ. You have freedom because you're in Christ, not because of what you do. It's not what we do. You know, it's not how you do it. You know, those would be works. Those don't substantiate or amount to anything in the kingdom unless they're by faith to God. But we get caught, or again, I won't say we, I know you don't, I do. I get caught at trying to hold the freedom. You know, yeah, and then like Mal said, like we talked in the rest of the meeting, it becomes the care. It becomes the care of this world that you're trying to get free of. Trying to get free so I can be free. I always, all the way back to JSOM, I always use this analogy, and Becky will love it. She already knows where I'm going because I use it all the time. It'd be like me telling you right now, freedom would be like me telling you right now to come into this room. Let that sink in a minute. You're already in the room, so come on into the room. You can't come into the room because you're already in the room. Right, you can't come into freedom because you already are free. We are in Christ. Our freedom is not. It is. Again, it's having our eyes open to the freedom we have, not coming into freedom. I won't get any more freer in Christ. I'll just get the knowledge or the understanding or the ability to see more freedom. But I'm not any more free. In other words, that would be, you know, that'd be like coming into the room. Keep practicing that this week. Come into the room. You can't come back in. You're already here. And in Christ, we already are free. Now, I know that's kind of the paradox of the kingdom, is that you are free, but you have to come into the understanding or the revelation, or you have to see the freedom in that point. But you already are free. You're not going to get any more free. Jesus is not going to redo anything. He's already done everything. Okay? So the freedom that we carry is that we are in Christ. And in Christ, we are free. Fully free. Fully free. And it's that place when you're there, you become carefree. Right? You become like, it's not the cares of this world, you become free from care. Yeah. And that's what makes a child a child. Yeah. I mean, I wrote in my notes, I said, children are carefree because they have no care. Yeah. Right? We burden ourselves down with care of things that are important. most of the time the things, well, they're all important, but most of them I can't change. But I think I can. You know, and I work hard at trying to change, but lest the Lord builds a house, I labor in vain. And again, I don't know about you, but I'm tired of laboring in vain. It yields nothing. So I believe what the Lord's doing for us is he's going to give us, I saw last week in the service on Wednesday night, and I saw that the Lord was going to change this house into a house of liberty. And that's like, oh, that's a great word, Pastor. That's what Jubilee means. Well, yeah. But I think the thing is that we've always been a house of liberty, right? It doesn't take anybody anywhere. People come from to our conferences because it's a place of liberty. It's a place of freedom. It's a place of you know, wide open, everything goes in a sense. But I felt like more that it was going to be not in that sense, but what I saw was it was going to become like recess when the bell goes off. You know, we're all amongst our everyday, and then the bell goes off, and what happens? You cast off all restraints, and you run to the play yard, and you just enjoy the time. But I saw, it was funny, because what I saw when we were in our thing, and I hadn't shared it because it still was just, it's been percolating all week, was that God's going to give us the ability to play again. You know, and I know that's like, but here's the thing. What better place to have the freedom to play than church? The enemy sold us a bill of goods that says church should be rigid and stiff and stuffy and cold, and that's not what church is. This should be the place that we all come to get out of all of the rigid, stiff, stuffy, cold parts of our life, and it should be the place that you have the freedom to come and just do and be and relax and that. And yet in our method of trying to keep Holy Spirit from being messy and his people from being more messy, we've contained us to let us become religious. Right? I'm just talking. I mean, they said, they gave me a mic and said, go for it. So, but I think the thing is that I see the place becoming not anything other than just a place of freedom. You know, I have yet, since Pastor's word about play, I keep saying, God, I want to experience that. I want to experience that in you. And I'm not there yet. Because I'm in myself, my own soul keeps me from being free. Okay? So, again, I'll be honest. I just keep saying, okay, God, I don't know how to get to the place where when I get in your presence, I can imagine that's what I can even have the audacity to step into that kind of place. But yet what I've been doing is I just sit there and I say, okay, God, what would that look like if we did that? You know, what would play look like with you? Because I think sometimes you have to allow yourself the ability to go there before you can go there. Does that make sense? Because often I know the thing that stops me from doing most everything is up here between the ears. Yeah, and it's in that. So, and because most of the time, and again, I'll speak of me, most of the time, I don't imagine much anymore. Yeah. I heard Diana say that, and I was thinking, yeah. I stopped imagining. You know, I feel like, part of me feels like Pan, Peter Pan, you know, and Hook, trying to be retaught how to play and imagine and be carefree, you know. And that's kind of what I see us becoming. Still reverent. Don't all close down and shut down. Still reverent before God, holy, understanding the goodness of God and the glory of God and all that. But also understanding that this house is called Jubilee. It's been Jubilee long before anybody was here. And long after we're all gone, other than rapture, it'll be Jubilee. I had a thought during worship tonight as we were worshiping. I said, what if what we were called for was to be that church, that playing crazy. I mean, we've been that church before. We've been the crazy dancing church. We've been the crazy flag church. We've been the, you know, the dancing lady church. We've been the, you know, pick any of them. We've been them all. We've been the tongue-talking, crazy, wild, pray all night church and all that. And it's funny, all those people that called us all those other things are now becoming all the things that we were. So, but what if we were to become the church that was the playing church, the church that was free to laugh and get into the presence of God and be free, to be carefree? What if that's where God's going? Right, not just a conference, not just a moment, not just recess. What if it was all the time? What if the presence of God was meant to keep us free from care so that we could go anywhere and be in the midst of anything and not get concerned about the outcome? Sounds good. I don't know how to get there. And the good part of it is I don't have to know how to get there. You know? So, Becky?
Just going back a little bit on what Diana was saying, as she was talking, the Lord was giving me some stuff. She talked about childlikeness or children living in the impossible without limitations. And I asked the Lord, so, I mean, we can think of things that wouldn't have limitations, and we can think of things that are impossible, but if we can think about them, we haven't thought big enough. If we know what that is, we haven't thought big enough. So the Lord gave me three scriptures, and I just like to bring you to these three scriptures. The first one is Psalms 18, 9 through 15, talking about the Lord. He bowed the heavens also and came down with darkness under his feet. And he rode upon a cherub and flew. He flew upon the wings of the wind. He made darkness his secret place. Isn't that funny? We're always trying to get into the secret place. Darkness is the secret place. His canopy around him was dark waters and thick clouds of the sky. In the Bible, many times clouds are either one of two things. They're either natural clouds that produce rain or the glory of God. The cloud is known as the glory of God. God resides in the cloud. Where the cloud is, there is his glory. It's when Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are in communion with each other and talking, and everything that is God is in this glory cloud. So if you go down to Psalm 68, 32 through 35, sing to God, you kingdoms of the earth. Oh, sing praises to the Lord, to him who rides on the heaven of heavens, which were of old. Indeed, he sends out his mighty voice. I have been crying out to hear the voice of God for about 6 months now. And you think, well, haven't you ever heard the voice of God? There's a cry coming deep within that there's a voice we haven't heard yet. And this voice, I have been crying out, I got to hear your voice, God. I've got to hear your voice. And this voice is found in this cloud that he's riding on. And then the last one, and think about this. I'll read the scripture first. Psalm 78, 23 to 25. Yet he has commanded the clouds above and opened the doors of heaven, had rained down manna on them to eat and given them the bread of heaven. Manna doesn't come from the cloud in the skies. Water comes from the cloud in the skies. He did the impossible. He did the thing that they were not expecting. He gave them an inheritance that they didn't recognize because they had never had it before. They had never eaten manna before. They never needed to eat manna because those that kept them in slavery were feeding them the Egyptian food. They didn't even know what manna was. They go, and all of a sudden, there's a cloud above them, and it's raining manna. It's raining their inheritance. It's raining the impossible. It's raining those things that have no limits. It's raining the carefreeness. They got to eat. They didn't produce it with their own hands. Their abilities had nothing to do with it. They weren't even in great faith. They weren't doing or thinking all the right stuff. God, because of the cloud, and he rides on it, and his presence and his election was raining down what they needed at that time. And it said, and they had rained down manna for them to eat and given them the bread of heaven. Not just the food to sustain what they needed here. So if all we're looking for when we say restoration is restore to me my finances, restore to me the house I lost, restore to me my unsaved children, that's good, that's the manna, you'll get it. But there's a better thing, the food of heaven. I submit to you that the Lord is coming in a cloud of glory that will give us the things here on this earth that we have cried out for and the enemy has taken from us. But even more than that, he's going to allow us to hear without limitation, in a carefree way, the voice of God from coming from within us. I have nothing to say to anybody else out there. I cannot give anybody out there liberty unless I possess it in here to give. And I can only give what is given to me at that time. Remember, manna doesn't stay past a day, past the moment. I can go out there after I've heard the voice of God coming from within me and speak a word that is full of the glory of God. And in the glory cloud is where all the miracles, signs, and wonders happen. It's where I know things that I couldn't possibly know in the natural. It's when I can lay hands on somebody because God says, somebody was talking about healing, like how do I know how to, you know, when to lay my hands on somebody to heal? It's when you hear the voice of God. And the glory of God is there. The glory will never be present unless miracles, signs, and wonders are happening. That's what it produces because it is the Godhead in full. It's where they reside. It says God is in the cloud. He's in the glory. And that's what he's bringing to us. It's not a childlikeness. And I think Diana did a really good job in saying it. It's not the childlikeness of I'm just going to act goofy, goofy, goofy. There, I did it. Unless God tells you to do that. And it may be because he needs to take some of the stiffness out of it. But that will come from within us. It'll be, and I shared, I'm not quiet about it. I didn't have a childhood that I see many kids having. But I know from being with Daddy what it means to be a child. And I can be a child in here that trusts her father enough. And I have seen the glory of God, but not the way it's coming right now. None of us have seen it because we have not been this way before. This is our liberty. This is our inheritance. Far more than the things we can see or feel. Although God's concerned with that manna and we'll get it. But far more our inheritance is Christ in us. Being given out as he gives us. It is a spiritual food of heaven that is coming to give us. It's like when we get food, we can then go exercise. And if we haven't eaten, like when we're fasting, then we're very weak and we don't do a lot on the outside. It is the energy of heaven. That's why you hear so much about sound waves and oils and all of that, because God is bringing that into the spiritual realm for us. We will have the oil of heaven. We will have the sound waves of the voice of God. And this is our inheritance. We were not born to be mere men. We were born again to be Christ-like within us. Not Christ, but Christ-like. If he can do it, I can do it. He knows no limits. And the rest of that says, men ate angels' food. He sent them food to the full. That means there is no lack in liberty. The liberty of God means you will do things you can't think of right now that make no sense to you right now. Like a little child who, if daddy's talking to him, daddy can only say so much to him because he doesn't know. You can't expect a little child to understand everything that daddy has, but yet that child will gain the ability to have all the stuff, even if they can't comprehend it, because daddy's there and daddy will make sure they have it. That's where the trust comes from. I don't need to know and understand and have all the language for the impossible. I just need to trust. The things I can't think of, the things I don't know about, doesn't matter. Daddy knows them. My daddy knows them. And my daddy freely gives, not only to me, because that would mean he's outside of me. He's in me. I have Father, Son, and Holy Spirit in me. And so do you. And when he gives me something, it will come to the full, meaning overflow. And that's what we will take out, is the overflow. It's nothing that we will produce with our own hands. It's nothing that we'll organize and say, we're going to do this and this and this and this. If we can organize it, it's not God. But God's coming and giving us the ability to trust him like a little child, the ability to know his voice, and the ability to stand still and see the salvation of our God. And I am being saved from my limited thinking on this earth and coming into an unlimited thinking of my spirit man. It's time that our spirit man came up to its rightful place, that will govern our soul, that will govern our body, because the spirit man is in tune with the voice of God. That's my liberty, to get me in the right position, because for most of us, our soul has been the one in charge, and God is just tweaking us a little bit. And I just thank God for the tweaking. I thank God for his dark cloud, his secret place. And how long has Pastor been talking to us about the secret place? And we've all thought it was a sweet little place that we go and worship God and put our music on, and we get into our warm fuzzies and, oh, the Lord, the Lord, the Lord. And God's saying, you don't make the secret place. When I come in my glory, the secret place will invade you. And it's dark cloud, but we will not be afraid like we know fear, but yet we will fall as dead men. Our natural man will go down. And our spirit man will, our hands and of our spirit man will raise up and say, Dad, I've been waiting for this all my life because I've heard about it and now I see with my spirit eyes. So we can take it and we can make it simple, or we can take it and make it hard. And God's exhorting us, make it simple. Trust me. Look up to me like a little bird in a nest waiting for mama to put the worm in his mouth, because he's about to put the Spirit of God in us like we have never known, as he takes our spirit man and brings it up to its rightful place to hear the voice of God, and then the ability to go out and do what the voice of God is saying moment by moment by moment. It won't be a one-time thing. God told me, and I believe him, he says, it's never been sustainable by my church before. But you wait. This one will be sustainable. Because I'm bringing it. At first he said, I'm bringing it to the generations. And I'm thinking in the natural. Oh, the generations, the old ones, the middle ones, and the babies. He said, stop. Stop trying to figure it out. And he says, generations from before the beginning of time to what's going on after time is over in the heavenlies. He says, I'm bringing we call it a kairos moment, you know, when everything comes together. And we think we know what that means. It's when heaven is in alignment and with us, or we're in alignment with heaven. That's the only real kairos moment there is. And that's what God is bringing. He is shifting us so we're in alignment. And all we'll hear is the voice of God. And if we have differences, if we notice people and what they're doing and all of that, then in that moment, don't deny it because it's there. Just say, oh God, my natural is taking over. I don't like that person right now, but I'm giving that to you because it doesn't belong in our kingdom. Doesn't belong. Whatever he's telling you, shift it, give it back, let go. Climb the mountain with your hand wide open, because we are climbing a mountain, the mountain of the Lord, except it's not that high. The mountain of Zion is not that high for us. Climb it with your hands wide open, and the voice of God will be waiting for you. And that's all he gave me.
I'm just going to give you the word, what Becky said, okay? This is cool. And then you will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with great transcendent and overwhelming power and all his kingly glory, majesty and splendor. Now when these things begin to happen, look up, lift up your heads, because your redemption, deliverance is drawing near. Luke 21, 27 and 28. And that isn't just when he's coming on earth. It's just when he's coming, then lift up your head. And those are the glory clouds. There are glory clouds. So, anyway, should we say amen?
I should be on now. There we go. Hi. Okay. So I wanted to have Larry share tonight about what happened this weekend with him, because I think that's a taste of what we've been talking about. But I think the Lord is postponing that till next week. If you would bring it next week. Thank you, brother. You got a lot to give, and we need it. So, but I want to honor what we see the Lord doing already. And but in this moment, I think Father just kind of sat us down and took our heads, took our faces and said, now listen, I'm serious about play. I am super serious about how much I delight in you. And I want you to delight in me, because this is going to change the world. It's not just going to change us. It's going to change the world. His desire is for freedom. It is for freedom that you have been set free. Like Brian said, don't be entangled again. He is bringing a key to sustainable freedom. I know a few people who walk in this. If any of you are familiar with Georgian and Winnie Banoff, they walk in that childlikeness, and it invites so much ridicule from the church. But everywhere they go, freedom is released, because they delight and the Father. They delight. They delight. And so the Lord is saying, listen! Delight. I feel like a dad who's got his big serious face on. He says, delight. This is important. And so I bless us all. I bless all of you. I bless you who've joined us online. Bless you in the discovery of delight as we say yes to this part of the journey. As we say yes, Father, transform me. Here I am. Teach me to play, Holy Spirit. Bring laughter from the center of my belly, bubbling like water till that fountain, that living water that is in us begins to flow and flow and splish and splash on everything that surrounds us. I'm going to leave you with this picture Larry was telling me about. Can I share it? His granddaughter, he was watering the roses. And his granddaughter said, Grandpa, can I come help you water? He said, sure. And so she came out and she grabbed the hose and he's kind of holding the hose. And she's watering the roses and she's watering Larry and she's watering herself and she's watering the house because the stucco changes color when it's wet, you know. And yes, the water got on the roses too. And everything else. And the Lord told him, this is why I want you to hold my power with me. I really hold the power. And I let you do the watering. But I hold the hose. But what delight that we would all get wet. And that the roses will grow. In Jesus' name. God bless you guys. Good night.